Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue and in fact today conclude our series of studies looking at the topic, How Can You Count Your Blessings? We're beginning our series of studies this month in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. So you might want to take a moment now, get your Bibles, turn with us to the first chapter of Ephesians and verse 3. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us. We have, of course, a mail address, toll-free phone number, website address, a brand new website, in fact. And if you would like to contact us in any one of those ways this week, you can, first of all, any questions or comments that you have, you're welcome to ask or make those questions or comments. Secondly, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes or the DVDs or CDs of this entire month's series of studies, you can request those. We'll be glad to get them out to you with no cost or obligation, just to help you in your study of God's Word. And you just need to request the series on counting your blessings, and we'll be glad to get those out to you right away. Right now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Ephesians 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, as I said, we've been starting with this verse each week throughout this study. And the theme of this verse is the blessings, obviously, that we have in Christ. We see that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We started by asking why we're blessed. And you know, just to kind of set the stage and review where we've been and kind of the basis of our study, when we look at blessing, first of all, in Scripture, there are two kinds of blessing we have to look at. One is natural blessing, a blessing that comes simply by virtue of creation. Those are the blessings that you receive just because you're a part of God's creation. You're on planet Earth. The air that you breathe, the water that you drink, all those things are natural blessings. And then the supernatural blessings, the things that God gives you that are over and above what you would receive just in the course of nature. And we've seen that there are two different groups of people that receive those supernatural blessings, the nation Israel and the church, the body of Christ. And we've been answering three questions about those blessings, the blessings to Israel and the body of Christ. First of all, we answered why. Why is it that God would bless someone that is not deserving of blessing? To bless means to confer favor upon. There is no one on this earth, no human being has ever lived that is worthy of blessing, except, of course, Jesus Christ, who was not only a human being, but was also fully God. Only God is worthy of blessing. That's why Paul starts by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy of blessing, but He has blessed those that are not worthy. Why? Well, we saw in the case of the nation Israel, His blessing came because you were a physical descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and because you kept the law that He gave through Moses. That was the why. For the church, the body of Christ, the why is much different. The why is found here in verse 3, our text verse, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Why? Why bless us? Because we're in Christ. Not for the good that we've done, not for who we are, but for who we've become, who we are placed in at the moment of our salvation in Christ. Last week, we looked at the how of our blessing. How are we blessed? And we saw that for the nation Israel, the blessing first was physical, with a spiritual blessing to follow in the kingdom. For the church, the body of Christ, the blessing is first spiritual, and that we learn in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Does that mean we would never receive a physical blessing? No, but what it does mean is what Romans 8 tells us. we wait for the redemption of our bodies. We wait for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We wait for that physical redemption. So as Israel received immediately a physical blessing, waiting for a spiritual blessing, the church, the body of Christ, receives immediately a spiritual blessing as we wait for the physical blessing, the redemption of our body. Today, we'll answer the last of our questions about blessing, and that is, where? Where are we blessed? Well, if you look at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. The next three words are, in heavenly places in Christ. So the short answer to this question, where are we blessed? Where is the body of Christ blessed? Is in heavenly places. But we want to take some time today as we close out this series of studies and look at that blessing in heavenly places and how that contrasts with Israel's blessing, which is not in heavenly places, but here on the earth. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And in Genesis 12, 1, we will see the place, if you will, of Israel's blessing. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. As God begins to build this nation which will become the nation Israel, which will be the basis of blessing in the Old Testament under the law, you had to be a part of that nation in order to be blessed, or come join yourself to that nation if you were a Gentile to be blessed. As he begins to build that nation, he says, get thee from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. A key element of God's building of that nation is a land. And if you think about it, that makes sense, because he promises Abraham that he will make of them a great nation. He promises him that he will be a multiplied seed. Over in Genesis, in fact, let's turn over just a couple pages to Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, notice with me, if you will, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. This is Abram. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Abraham, your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. Now, if you have all those people that are going to descend from Abraham, a seed, multiplied seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea, says in another verse, then what do you need for all those people? Well, you need a place for them to live. You need a land. And the initial promise that God makes to Abraham back there in chapter 12 is that I'm going to give you a land. Now, if you have a land and a people and a governmental structure over them, and that comes later on as David becomes the king of Israel, a people in a land with a governmental structure, you have a nation. And that's what he promises Abraham there in chapter 12. Notice with me in chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Again, what is in focus? This land. Here's the land that I've promised you. From the great river of Egypt to the Euphrates, that Fertile Crescent area, that we call it today the Middle East, from Egypt all the way over through to the Tigris and Euphrates River Valley, all that land I give to you, Abraham, and to your seed after you. And you see all the people that are living in there now? The Kenites, the Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaims, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites. I'm going to drive them out, and it'll be your land. You see, for Israel, their blessing is inextricably tied to that land. The first promise that God made to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy people, unto a land that I will show you. The very first promise he made Abraham is, I'm going to show you a new land, and I'm going to give you that land. So when you talk about Israel's blessing, it's always tied. Where is that blessing going to be? Well, it's always tied to that land. Therefore, it's always focused on the earth. There are only two places a blessing can reside. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So blessing either has to be given on the earth or in heaven. That land that God gave to Israel is on the earth. So as a result, their blessings and their future, their destiny, their goal is all tied to the earth. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah. Well, first let's go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, as he ministered to the nation Israel, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to that nation, and they received him not. But in the prayer that he taught them, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What is his desire? What are they praying for? They're praying, thy kingdom come. Come where? Well, the kingdom is going to come to the earth. That's the purpose. That's the goal, is for the kingdom of God to come to the earth. That's always what Israel looked forward to. That's always what Israel had their hope tied to. That's always what their destiny was for the kingdom to come to the earth. Turn with me, if you will, to the 19th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 and verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So he's teaching them. They think the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And in verse 12, he's going to give them a parable to explain that situation. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. They thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. But it's not going to be immediate. He says, I got to go into a far country and receive it and return. But you know, the fact that he's going to return with that kingdom, that's why once he's gone, they pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel, we see an account of what's happening when that nobleman goes into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, comes before the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. A nobleman goes into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Notice the nature of that kingdom. That all people, nations, and languages. Where do people live? People live on the earth. Where are languages spoken? On the earth. Where are there nations? On the earth. You see, Israel's promise, Israel's goal, is for a literal, visible, physical, earthly, Davidic kingdom. With Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of his father David, ruling the nations with a rod of iron. Where will Israel be blessed? On the earth. And the blessings that they received. Remember last week how we talked, how are they blessed? Israel is blessed up front in physical terms. Why? Because their ultimate goal is a physical earthly kingdom. So they're blessed in physical earthly ways. Turn to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. What is Israel looking for? Here's what Israel's looking for. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, in the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. That's what Israel looks for. His feet to stand on the Mount of Olives and for him to go forth and fight against those nations that have come against Israel. That's the culmination. That's the zenith of their blessing. When Jesus Christ returns, sets foot on the Mount of Olives, it splits in two. He takes the armies of heaven and defeats the armies of the nations and establishes his kingdom with judgment and justice forever. And he rules over the nations with a rod of iron, and the 12 apostles sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the goal. That's what they look toward. Where is their blessing? Their blessing is coming here to the earth. And because their blessing is coming here to the earth, the focus of their blessing in time past and that first part of their blessing that they receive is the physical. What about the church, the body of Christ? Where's our blessing? Well, let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. And we read this as we started, the short answer to our question, where are we blessed? Verse 3 of Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are our spiritual blessings located? In addition to being in Christ, they are located in heavenly places. And along with our heavenly blessings goes a lot of other heavenly information. For example, Ephesians 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Principalities and powers in heavenly places. Chapter 6 and verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those same high heavenly places spoken of earlier in the book. So what does he say in Ephesians 1? Our blessing is in heavenly places, chapter 1. Our position is in heavenly places, in chapter 2. Our witness and testimony is in the heavenly places, chapter 3. And our battle, our warfare, is in the heavenly places, in chapter 6. You see, we as members of the body of Christ have blessing, position, witness, and warfare to the heavenly places. Does it affect here on the earth? Certainly. We, as we share the gospel, as we, and in fact, let's go back to chapter 3 and just notice how the two are tied together. Ephesians 3, verse 9. Paul says, here's his goal, here's his ministry, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which in the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul says, my goal is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. All men see. Where do men live? On the earth. So I want to make all men on the earth see something. Why? Verse 10. To the intent. What's the purpose of making all men see? Well, the purpose of making all men see is that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, I'm working to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery so that the principalities and powers might see what is the manifold wisdom of God. Because as men see it, they see it. As God's grace works in men, they see God's grace at work. So Paul makes clear, our blessing, where is our blessing, the blessing of the body of Christ? In the heavenly places. Where is Israel's destiny and blessing? On the earth. Where is the destiny and blessing of the church, the body of Christ? In the heavenlies. In heavenly places. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because of that, what we look for is different than what Israel looks for. Israel looks for Jesus Christ to return, set foot on the Mount of Olives. That Mount splits in two. He goes out and defeats the armies of the nations and establishes their kingdom. What do we look for? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are we looking for Jesus Christ to return and his feet to set foot on the Mount of Olives and split in two and go out and defeat the Gentiles? No, that verse says we're looking for him to come in the clouds and to be caught up in the air, to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever there in the heavenlies be with the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll change our vile body, fashion it like unto his, equip it to live there in the heavenly places. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, as Paul talks about the resurrection of our body, notice in verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. What image will we bear? The heavenly. You see, we have borne the image, a terrestrial body tied to this earth, but we will receive a body equipped to function in the heavenlies. You see, where is our blessing as members of the church, the body of Christ? It's in the heavenlies. As I mentioned at the beginning of this series of studies, last month, we looked at the blessings of the Beatitudes. We looked at all those blessings that are listed there in Matthew chapter 5, how they come, what the purpose of them is, how they fit into the context of that coming kingdom, how the blessing fits into the nation Israel and their plan and their program. But we ought not to think that because those blessings in Matthew 5 are targeted at the nation Israel, that we as members of the body of Christ are not blessed. We certainly are. And what we've done in this month's series of studies is illustrate scripturally that, yes, Israel has great blessings. They are blessed because they're descendants of Abraham and they keep the law. They're blessed physically while they wait for that spiritual deliverance of the kingdom. And they're blessed here on the earth when that kingdom comes and God establishes judgment and justice. But we as members of the body of Christ, we also are blessed. Blessed why? Because we're in Christ. How? We're blessed spiritually while we wait for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. And finally, where? In the heavenly places. So as we as members of the body of Christ are blessed, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Again, that's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and that's a change. You can still use gracealive.us. You'll still get there, but we've changed our website. We're designing a new website, so we'd like to invite you to log on and take a look at it, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week with any questions or comments that you might have about the program. This will be the last broadcast where we offer the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs or the CDs of this current month's series of studies. So if you'd like to receive it, just write to us or email us, call us, whatever you choose, and ask for the series on blessing. How does God bless you? How do you count your blessings? And we'll be glad to get that out to you without any cost or obligation. We just want to help you to better understand how you can fulfill the admonition of that song. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And we trust that you'll be tuning in again next week when we'll have a brand new series of studies here on Grace Alive. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.